We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
West Virginia coach Bob Huggins breaks down Tuesday night's game at TCU. That's coming up right after this.
West Virginia is a special place, but it's the people that make it special.
Honestly, it is the crowd, it's the people.
This is one of the great environments. There are no pro teams in the state of West Virginia. They love West Virginia sports right here.
This is the most underrated fan base in the country.
Grass Resource, state of West Virginia, is not coal. Grass Resource is his people.
Join the climb today at WVUtimeToClimb.com.
So, Coach, just the how's the trip so far? Last we talked to you, you were in Austin, now in Fort Worth. So give us a synopsis of the trip and then your thoughts on TCU.
Trip was good. Trip was good. Winning obviously made it a whole lot better. We bussed, 3.5 hours or so, 3.5-4 hours up to Fort Worth, and had a little workout yesterday. Didn't go real hard, but we kind of just went through their stuff and what we wanted to do, and we're going to go a little bit harder today for a little bit longer, and then get ready to play tomorrow. Fort Worth's a great town, by the way, Greg. Good town.
I've been there. It is nice.
Our next question is from John Antoni.
Hey, Coach, looking at the scores from TCU, are you anticipating them trying to slow it down and try to play more possession the way they're playing right now?
No, I don't think so. That's not really Jamie's style.
Yeah.
I mean, he did that at Pitt a little bit, but I don't think so. I mean, if you look at their prior games, they'll run it up and down.
What do you see from them? What are some things that jump out at you with them?
Well, I think their youth. Their youth is one thing that kind of jumps out. They've been in a lot of close games, and you know, it's you'd rather have veterans than young guys. Samuels has been really good for them, and they really shoot the ball at times. They're a bit streaky, but they're young guys. The guys that Jamie brought in can really get it going, and when they get it going, they just spread you so far that it's hard. They're hard to guard.
And Nemhard, he's a guy I remember. What are you seeing from him?
He's playing really well. I think the thing that we've got to be prepared for is how hard he runs the floor. He really runs the floor, which kind of stretches everything out, gives the other guys a little more space to penetrate and kick, and they're big penetrating kick guys.
And a little bigger guard, is that issues there?
Well, he's a little bigger, yeah. O'Bannon's a little bigger. I mean, yeah. I don't know what O'Bannon is, whether he's a forward or a guard, but he plays on the perimeter. They've got really good size on the perimeter.
Back to Greg Hunter.
Bob, you talked about this the other day, but, you know, you could end up playing seven games in a two-week span. So how do you adjust practice accordingly? You got to save legs. So how much do you cut back?
Who said you have to save legs? They play 100 games in the NBA. I tell our guys that all the time. You guys are tired. And in the NBA, you're maybe one-eighth of the way through your season. We got some shots up yesterday, and we kind of dummied through, walked through, just to start to familiarize them a little bit with what TCU does. Watch some film with them back at the hotel, and we're going to go – we have to go a little longer today to get in everything that we want to get in.
Chris Anderson. Chris, you're on mute.
Hey, Coach. We saw in the Texas game the little altercation in the huddle between Jones and Ramey. Over your coaching career, I'm assuming that something similar like that has happened between your players. What's your reaction to that? How do you handle that?
Tell them to stop. What are you going to do? Tell them to stop. Go sit down. Set one of them away from the other one and continue the game. You certainly can't screw the game up because guys kind of get a little emotional.
John Antoni.
Hey, I know the travel, the three games in 6 days and all of that being on the road. Is there some benefit maybe to being together and just having them together all the time?
Well, John, first of all, really, you don't get it because you don't have to do it. It's rough, man. I mean, it's you put your head down on a pillow, and then the next day, you're in a different place. You wake up and you look around, you wonder what hotel room you're in. It's something that we have to go through that other people really don't go through, you know, and they don't. Some of those guys, some of the coaches understand, some of them don't. The 2 days in between, I think, were good for us because they could look at film. They could look at film of their own, you know, that things that they could do better, and they could look at their opponent. We just, you know, kind of just on the surface of what we need to do in the game tomorrow night, yesterday, because I just didn't want to, you know, I promised them, you know, we're only going to go, we'll be in and out of there in an hour, and we were. And then, of course, went back and watched some film after we ate. But, John, it's hard, man. It's harder than any of y'all realize.
I mean, I get that part about not sleeping in your own bed and all of that, but it is – with you guys all together, it is all basketball or academics. So it is all business while you're with them.
Well, John, if you were 6'8" and you played 30, 33 minutes, you went and got a shower, you went out, you sat in a bus where you can't really stretch your legs out, you know, then you get out of the, you get out of the bus and you go, and the coaches are like, you know, come on, we're going to have something to eat and watch some film. You're like, come on, man. Especially, you know, it's hard. It's harder than anybody realized. We're going to play tomorrow night. We'll get back at 3, maybe. Something like that, you know. So,
it's hard. You keep an eye on their energy level early?
Try to.
Yeah.
Try to. I'm obviously not an expert.
You kind of did that in the Texas game, though. You played some guys that you normally didn't play. Maybe that was because you weren't happy with what you were getting on the floor, but was that part of it too?
No, it was a combination of a lot of things.
Okay.
And you know, Derek got a couple early ones, and, you know, we've got to have him to rebound the ball at the end of games.
Next question from Cody Nesberg.
Hey, Coach. I believe this is going to be either your 19th or your 20th time coaching against Jamie. And I was just wondering, what's it like to coach against a guy that you have a decade plus of history with?
I don't know. I don't really think about it. You know, I look at what they're doing. Jamie isn't playing the way he played at Pitt here. They're playing a lot faster. He was more of a half court guy at Pitt, but personnel dictated, you know, I mean, he's like all the rest of us. You try to accentuate the positive and stay away from the negative. And he's got a bunch of young guys who can really run. They're similar to playing like maybe Oklahoma State, because Oklahoma State really, really runs. These guys really run. Transition is going to be huge for us, which was, again, a reason why, you know, yesterday we didn't do very much.
Justin Jackson.
Coach, you mentioned Samuel earlier, and obviously he's a big rebounder for him. And, you know, I think he's like, what, 6'11", 260 or something like that. I mean, there are obviously other big guys in the Big 12 that Derek matches up with. I mean, you know, McCormick at Kansas comes to mind, and, you know, Sims at Texas is a pretty big boy. But is this maybe the a more physical matchup for Derek, more so than maybe, you know, skill set-wise?
I honestly don't remember it being that physical.
Okay.
I think McCormick is a lot more physical. I think Sims has kind of learned to be. He wasn't early on in his career. I think he's getting a lot more physical. Take a look at the last play of the game, I think Neil would be happy to have any of those guys blocking for his running backs. I mean, you talk about physical now. They were clamping onto arms, trying to run over people. It was a scrum.
Coach, we have our next question from Bob Herzl, and we have a series of questions. They're all on the same subject, so we will stick with his questions here for the next two or three. Then we'll turn it back over to the raised hands. But this is from Bob. Coach, the other day you mentioned that Texas Tech's Chris Beard was ahead of the curve going after junior college players. But it seems you started doing that 30 years ago at Cincinnati, long before it was popular. What made you start going in that direction with the likes of Corey Blount, Eric Martin, and Nick Van Exel?
Well, if I said junior college guys, I wasn't speaking solely of junior college guys with Chris. Chris has done a great job of scanning the portal and taking transfers. Not necessarily all, he has taken some junior college transfers as well, but I think he's done a great job of just taking guys from the portal. And then, you know, with what went on this year with automatic waiver and everybody being eligible when they transfer, and in the future everyone's going to be eligible, I think that Chris is ahead of the curve there. I started recruiting junior college guys at Cincinnati because I couldn't get any high school guys. We tried like crazy to recruit some high school guys and couldn't get any. And I had a buddy who was worked a lot of camps with me when I was younger, that said, there's these three guys out here that you want to take a look at. And he sent me their names and so forth. And I had a guy, Steve Muller, who recruited California. He was at Bakersfield as an assistant. He was at Texas as an assistant. He had recruited California. So I said, go out there and take a look and see what you think, and then let me know. And he went out. He said, these guys are these guys can really, really come in and help us. So I got on a plane and went out, and we brought them in. And of course they were, you know, you have dinner down there on the river. It's pretty impressive looking at the city across the river. And the one guy said, Terry Nelson said, he said, Coach, I love it here, man. This is unbelievable. I want to be a comedian. I want to be a stand-up comedian. If there was a comedian in here that you could introduce me to, he said, I'd sign right now. So I went over to Jeff Ruby, who it was his restaurant. I said, can you call Ray Combs and get him down here? And so he called Ray Combs. Ray Combs came in, and he was doing, I think, Family Feud and that at that time. I said, Terry, you know who that guy is? He said, that's Ray Combs. I said, yeah. I didn't have to say. Terry jumped up, went over and introduced himself, told me he wanted to be a comedian, which he's been everything but, by the way. But, yeah, I mean, that's how it started. And then we got Herb Jones. Herb's probably really where it started. Herb's probably the best player I had at Cincinnati other than Kenya. Corey Blunt had a great career. Van Exel had a great career, obviously. Van Exel wasn't a California guy, though. We got Nick out of Texas.
Coach, how different is it with JC players? Are there a lot of habits to break?
No, you know what? It is what it is. I mean, the guys will do what you demand that they do. And no, I love coaching those guys. They were a little bit more mature. They had already kind of seen the world a little bit more than what a high school kid would. And physically, they're so much more ready to play. And the ones I had were great. I mean, I probably had, I don't know, 15 to 20 of them that went on and had great careers after they left us.
Continuing with our final two questions from Bob Hertzel. Coach Huggins, what do you look for in JC players?
Well, obviously guys that can play. You know, everybody wants you to say, you know, you look at their academics. Well, they got to be able to play, or why would you fool with their academics? So you look at how you think they'll fit in, you know, what your needs are. And then, of course, then you go to the academic piece of it and make sure that they're guys that are capable of handling the work that you have at a university setting, and whether they're willing to do the work.
Our final question from Bob is, why do you believe you have been so successful with JC players over the years?
Well, I think I relate to them well. You know, they've seen a lot more than a guy coming out of high school. And I think you put the time in, you know, you put the time in to get to know them. You put the time in to see, you know, where they're coming from. You listen to them. But, you know, I mean, the biggest thing is you coach them. Guys really deep down in want coach. They act like they don't, but they really do want coach.
Okay, back to the raised hand feature, Chris Anderson.
Sorry, my question was already answered. A hand just didn't go down.
John Antonic.
Getting back to Samuel, he's got 39 shot blocks. How do you attack a shot blocker? And is he getting his blocks with guys going into him, or is he getting them away from the ball, weak side? What do you do there with him?
Well, you attack a shot blocker. I think the best way is to get contact with him. Get contact with them, you kind of keep them grounded. And the worst thing to do is give them space to where they can use that to get a step and jump. And I think they bother you so much more that way than they do if you have contact with them. I think that's why Derek's been successful, I think, playing against other bigs, because he can handle the contact.
And I guess spacing helps. If your lane's clogged up, it makes it more difficult or easier.
It's way more difficult.
Yeah.
You can't bounce it. You gotta really secure the ball. You got people digging down on you from a lot of angles.
So playing out would help Derek against a shot blocker.
Us spreading the floor helps Derek more than anything. If we can get him spread, they're still going to run in and help. Derek never sees a one-on-one matchup.
Okay.
Our final question comes from Keenan Cummings.
Hey, Bob, obviously winning on the road in this league is difficult. What has been the difference for you all this year? I mean, is it part of, you know, no fans in the arena? Is it just a change in mindset? And what's helped you guys to this 5-2 start on the road?
Well, you know, in terms of the fan deal, they had crowd noise that was really loud, really, really loud too. So it wasn't the sterile environment that you might imagine. There was a lot of noise. I think maturity, you know, we've got some guys that have been through it before, and those guys know, you know, what we have to do on the road, the preparation, you know, that you're more apt to have comebacks from home teams on the road than you are vice versa because they're so comfortable.
We have one more question here from Justin Jackson.
Sorry about that. Coach, you guys moved back up into the top 10 today. And, you know, obviously, you know, I'm kind of thinking of this road trip that you guys are going to go on. And then, you know, obviously, even after that's over, you guys are going to come back home and play another stretch of games in a short amount of days. Do you think the selection committee will take that stuff? You know, they'll know about that. They'll consider that when it comes to figuring out the seeding, the stuff that you guys have had to go through this year.
Well, they never have. I would doubt it. Actually I was on the committee, to find a better way to do it, than RPI, and people came up with what we have now. We're basically Ivy League people. And we just, as coaches, tried to say, you know, why would that carry this much weight, or why would that not carry some weight, and tried to tweak it as best we possibly could. But I think it's going to more depend on the net than it is anything. Although I'm told, I've never been on a selection committee, obviously, but I'm told from people that have been on a selection committee that a lot of it is just eyeballing them, that those guys actually do towards the end of the year, they actually do watch a ton of games. And so they have an idea of how good they think people are based on them watching the games as well as the net. But there's no, as hard as we've tried, there's no perfect answer.
Yeah. I think the net's a pretty good tool, but the net doesn't take into account, you know, you guys possibly playing, you know, whatever it's going to be, 8 games in 10 days or 9 games, you know, whatever that measure is, that's not going to be represented in the net.
No, it won't be, but that's supposed to be part of the eyeball test, that committee members are supposed to be aware of the fact that. But what they're not aware of, though, Justin, honestly, is getting back at 4:35 o'clock in the morning, you know, going from there over to study hall, doing their classwork, and then come in and, you know, basically what we do is kind of look at film and spend a lot of time looking at film, trying to keep them awake rather than have them out running up and down on the floor. Because, I mean, I know how tired I am when we get back, and I can imagine how tired they are. So, I mean, it's never going to be perfect. There's too many things involved for it to be perfect. But, you know, I think it's, you know, although you guys ought to talk to Josh, because Josh is really good at it. And you weren't supposed to get all this credit that people are getting for playing tier four teams, you know, the real low major teams, and beating them by, you know, 40, 45. And actually what we were supposed to do was kind of eliminate that from the net. And I think the way it turned out, I think you're getting a lot of credit for beating people bad, which was not what we set out to do.
And that was West Virginia coach Bob Huggins. The Mountaineers and Horned Frogs will hook up at 7:00 Tuesday night. The game will be televised nationally on ESPN2. Thanks for listening.